Hey friend, are you looking for episodes that dive deep into your Enneagram type? Or are you searching for faith-based insights that transform your life? With over 300 episodes on the Simply Wholehearted podcast, it's easy to get overwhelmed. But don't worry, friend, I've got you covered. Introducing the curated, personalized podcast playlist that is just for you based on your Enneagram type. So get your copy to help you continue your path of self-discovery and spiritual growth. You can get it at simplywholehearted.com or just click the link in the show notes to get your personalized playlist. And let's continue on this transformative journey together. Welcome to the Simply Wholehearted podcast. I'm Amy Wicks, your host, as well as our good friend, Ashley Pittman. Here at Simply Wholehearted, we are sharing our journey as we discover how to better love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And even though you might be surrounded by a world of half-heartedness, we hope to inspire you to living wholeheartedly by inviting our different friends to share their simple ideas of how they live unplugged, purposeful, and intentional in their everyday. Today's guest is all about helping us to shine as we were designed to by our Creator. And she has simple ways to encourage us to grow and enjoy our life. We also talk about choosing holiness, even when believing God is hard. As usual, we'd love to hear what you think of this episode. And now here's our conversation with Ginger Harrington. So what is your workout look like these days? Do you go to a gym? Is it walking? What is it?
Water fitness. And so today I actually got to get in the pool with folks because I wasn't teaching today. Oh. I walked. I've been trying to get back into some strength training because writing a book has been, just so much more time at the computer.
Totally.
I was not good about that. And I paid the price. I'm like, really need to strengthen my back again. So,
Yeah. No, it's true. I kind of even. My father-in-law is so graciously building me a table for our podcast stuff that will, because we're on a card table in like the middle of the house and, it looks, but I really thought about making a standing table because I feel like I sit so much
right. And
I'm not good at sedentary lifestyle. So anyway, but I get it. The whole like sitting and writing and it can take a toll. You got to be careful.
It is, I hate to tell people. Yes, I have a work injury from sitting at my desk.
Right.
Like, that sounds so lame.
It's hard. It's hard, but it's real. I love it. So you're teaching classes, so that's always good. That's a good motivator, too. Keeps you accountable.
It does, yeah. If you don't show up, boy, they're not happy with you.
Yes, that's for sure. I actually did a certification class to be a workout instructor.
What? Really?
I did when I was like in my early 20s. But here's the thing. This is so embarrassing. I could barely pass because I could not get the like stepping stuff. Like, the more like high energy cardio dancing. I couldn't get the reversal of it to lead it. I was focusing so hard on trying to make the right moves. I like barely passed. I think they actually just made an exception and let me pass. Oh. So needless to say, I've never taught. Like I could see doing, a strength training class, right? Because it doesn't require. Anyway, so there you go. In case. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever told you that, probably.
I've never heard that. That's new. I didn't know you had that certification. So it was the left and right, like
yeah,
your
left
becomes
right
their right
and
you're trying
supposed to mirror them.
Yeah, you have to reverse them.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
No.
And you figured it out.
I still get that mixed up sometimes. And then I just say, your other right.
Yes, there you go. Surely everyone should just have grace because that is confusing. That's awesome. Well, I'll take a minute to introduce us really quick. We just, and I try to always remember to put this in the emails back and forth, but we just push record and we start talking and we just are hanging out and we're just having coffee. And we, in fact, just got done with a re-recording because we had some tech difficulties and we were so sad because it was a great conversation that we had.
And she very generously made it happen again today. But I was like, it's our second date. We're just, you know, we're getting back together. The first one went great. Yes. So here we're again. So I'm Amy, and I'm now, you know, just like super great friends with Jeannie because, you know, she's friends with everyone. And
friend to have.
She is. And this is Ashley.
Hey.
Hi, Ashley Pittman. And you sound like you have a Southern.
Yep.
Like your fellow Southern sisters.
Yeah, when you popped on, you said, hey, y'all. And I thought, okay, I know. Where are you from?
Yep. It's not a good day if you don't say, hey, y'all, to somebody.
I know.
I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay.
Oh.
Virginia, and have been a military wife, so we've lived many, many places.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but yeah. I still hang on to a little bit of that Southern girl sweetness.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Knoxville. That is probably our... If we were to move, again, we're in Kansas City, Missouri, we would either move back to Colorado or Knoxville, maybe Nashville, but just gorgeous.
Ugh. Yeah, it's a pretty area.
Yeah, Virginia's not too bad either, so.
Yeah, beautiful. My husband would like to retire elsewhere just simply because they tax his military retirement.
Oh, are you serious? That's terrible.
And we're close to D.C., so, you know, it's a lot of...
Yeah, gotcha.
An hour and a half a day. It's brutal. So... I don't blame him. Even though I don't like to move, I don't blame him for
what. Right. Yeah. Now, how many years has he been in the military? Career military, obviously.
Yes. He retired at 24, and he now works with the Border Patrol.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So when he, where's your dream retirement? Like, where would that look?
Someplace beautiful with lots of friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, eye candy and, you know, the good
community.
Social.
Yes. Yeah. And you probably have a lot of community because all over the place, because you seem that warm, you know, you're just going to bloom where you're planted kind of thing. So, and you probably know about that. How many moves have you guys done in your marriage?
Oh gosh. I don't even want to count. Not as many as a lot. Okay. Probably made 10.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
That's a lot.
That is. Where we were there for 4 or 5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you know, some people on the 2-year rotation cycle can really rack up some moves.
Yes. Yeah. Well, one of our collective members, we have kind of a team of 8 women right now who are just we're kind of gathering around this message of living wholeheartedly. And one of them, she is stationed with her husband out at the Air Force base that's, I don't know, what is it, like an hour from us?
Mm-hmm.
Southeast of us. It's Whiteman Air Force Base. And so anyway, they've moved a ton. And she immediately, when she's kind of helps me with all the books that come across my path. And she saw your book and read, you know, more about you and was like, oh, I've got to read this. I got to meet her. I got to find out more about her.
Saw her stuff on your, you know, like I've been checking out show notes and stuff like that. I'm like, somebody's connected to the military.
Yes, definitely. And she, there's so much there. In fact, I think we're going to have her, actually we will have had her for our July, like 4th of July kind of episode, just highlighting. She has got quite a story and then also military life and
I would love to connect up with her with the military ministry that I work with.
We'd
love to have her guest host or, you know, share her story.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And so maybe we can make that happen.
She's great. She's amazing. And you'll find out she actually was a White House speechwriter for, I think, at least 8
Laura
years
Bush.
And for Laura Bush personally. So, yeah.
Interesting background.
Yes. So she's actually a very gifted writer, which you've already seen come through. So, yeah, we'll definitely connect you guys. Katie would love that. So, well, I know we wanted to talk about a couple of things, just getting to know you, some of your background, obviously military background, lots of moves. You're in Virginia. So tell us a little bit about kids and writing and how that's developed for you and unfolded.
Sure. We've been in Virginia here for almost 7 years.
Oh, wow.
We came to Virginia via Okinawa, Japan, which was one of those duty stations in the military that we didn't want to go to because mm-hmm. our oldest was just starting high school. We've got three kids.
Okay.
And this was in 2007. He was going to be a freshman in high school. And mm-hmm. we just weren't sure, you know, like, how do you get ready for college when you're overseas like that? And we weren't really excited about the move, but once we got settled, it was our very favorite experience in the military, and we were there for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Our son got to graduate from Kadena High School in Okinawa, Japan.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was just a nice piece of you know, continuity to be there that long mm-hmm. and to have that cross-cultural experience, and it was so broadening for our kids. Yeah. Our children are now, our oldest is 25, and he just graduated from the University of Louisville and is going to be a speech pathologist in Charlottesville.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, we're so proud of him. And our middle daughter is going to be 23 real soon, mm-hmm. and did 2.5 years. She went to school for a couple of years in college and wasn't sure what she wanted to finish with. And she said, Mom, I think God's calling me to do YWAM, which is Youth with the Mission, discipleship school.
Yeah.
She said, they have one in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Australia. Yeah. And you go to unreached people groups, like where you have to ride in a Jeep off-road for days to get there. And that to her sounded like awesome.
Absolutely.
I was like, oh,
right. Wait a minute. You can follow God, but
definitely an act of faith to release our grip on her. And she did a Youth with the Mission school there in Perth, Australia. And then she stayed on staff for a couple of years and just got back this year and is regrouping and be heading back to school in the fall and wants to pursue Christian counseling.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah.
It was a direction changer for her and just such an amazing experience.
Yeah.
And every time I would start to miss her, I would just say, nope, Lord, I'm not even. I'm just going to open my hand and praise you that she's doing this and that she's having these experiences. And then our youngest is a nursing student, and she's also going to be a junior in college this year. So we'll have two college juniors this year.
Woohoo, the finish line is in sight.
Yeah.
Yes. That's awesome. I love that.
Anyway, that's what life looks like, you know, family-wise for us. And, you know, for years, I kind of looked toward those empty nest years and kind of went, oh, I'm not thinking I'm going to like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had been all about being mom and really, you know, invested heavily in my children, as we all do.
Yeah.
And that is a letting go process. And God has been so faithful, and it's been a good experience, even though I just kind of wondered, what will I do with myself when my kids are out of the house? And write books now. That's what we do.
Yeah. That's so great. All these years of experience and living and raising, and here you get to share a lot of that wisdom. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is a privilege that I'm just absolutely thrilled to have.
Now, what inspired Holy in the Moment? Because that, I mean, that it's not parenthood, it's not marriage, it's not military life. And we will talk more about what you are doing specifically for ministry connected with the military. But what inspired going down that road? I mean, I think it's beautiful because I don't think we hear about kind of that topic, holiness, too much in our culture anymore. So,
well, the book has an interesting genesis. In I don't know if you've ever experienced those January blues at the beginning of a year.
Oh yes.
And I was in a place. It was the year that we were going to be retiring from the military, and I had no idea what was going to be happening next. Moving transitions had been hard for me, and that is kind of the anchor story at the first of the book. But I had really battled with anxiety a lot, and I wasn't looking forward to just this unknown of not knowing, are we going to be moving? Are we going to be staying? What kind of career field are you going to do? The kids are getting ready to leave the house.
So much change.
Yes. And we had also said, you know, I had mentioned to my husband that I wanted to publish and wanted to be a professional writer and speaker. And at that time I was professionally speaking, but the writing, the book deal hadn't come yet.
Right.
And we kind of said, well, hey, let's spend 3 years, you know, really invest 3 years, make that your full-time job, get serious about it.
Oh, wow.
And I was approaching the end of that 3 year mark and I was like, whoa, I haven't been able to accomplish this. Mm-hmm. So all of that uncertainty was hanging heavy on me that January. And I was really kind of down and just was like, Lord, I know that you've got a plan for this. Mm-hmm. And I'm struggling to trust you and just rest in the not knowing right now.
Yeah.
But would you show me how you want me to navigate this season of unknown in mm-hmm. my life? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really, this question, you know, the Holy Spirit just inserted this question. If you choose one holy thing, one whole thing, mm-hmm. one thing that's good for you, one simple thing each day, what difference could it make? Wow. And so that was God's way of just, you know, really focusing me on let's take care of now and make the best choices you can make today and let me take care of the rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so as I began to do that, that began to become a book idea. Mm-hmm. And I played around with that and tried to write it for years and, you know, never got farther than a couple of blog posts until God was ready for me to write it. And he really waited until he had done some internal work in me where he had been writing that story in me. And he introduced the idea in 2013, but he didn't open the opportunity to write it until 2017.
Wow.
And sometimes that can look like failure when it's a long, slow process.
Yeah, right.
But what God has shown me is that his timing is perfect. Mm. And if I had written that book in 2013, it would have been kind of a light and cute little devotional, which is a great thing to write, but not what he had designed.
Yeah.
And so it was only after I had been through some counseling and some counseling training and really some intense study and soul searching and healing process of my own that he opened up the opportunity to write the book. And you write from such a different place.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God's written the message in you and brought you through that process of healing. It impacted the book. It's much deeper, it's much fuller, it's much richer than it would have been 4 years ago. And I'm grateful for that. Oh,
that's beautiful. I think again and again, keep having these conversations about what the Lord does in the waiting. It's so the wilderness, however you want to frame it, where it just seems like, what is going on? You felt like these promises or that direction, and you've been obedient, you've been faithful. And you wait and wait and wait, but that the work, the move of you know his spirit in the waiting is just it produces so many good things and allows us to be able to do what it was that he put inside of us long ago. Because wouldn't it be ready or equipped or like you said, it could be okay, but was it all that it could have been or what it is now?
Yes, and that was such a beautiful picture to learn because I don't know about you guys, but for me, sometimes when it feels like when you've got a goal and you're not making forward progress on that and you're working and you feel like life is a constant uphill.
Yes.
Climb. Battle. you feel like you're just trudging. And when the end isn't in sight and the goal isn't in sight, it's so easy to be discouraged by that, to feel like that is failure or God saying no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes it is him waiting for the right timing, for him working within us, strengthening us, growing us, or for me also bringing us to a season of life mm-hmm. where we have the time and the flexibility. Yeah. To fully invest in something.
Oh, yeah.
So for me, I think Season of Life was also a piece of that pie for entering into book writing. And, you know, I've done a lot of travel this spring promoting the book. And I wouldn't have been able to do that when my kids were at home. And, you know, God works it all out. So it's been a good lesson. I hope I can apply that the next
Yeah.
same scenario, you know, it'll be a different context, but the same same situation, we go through that pattern many times in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping and praying that this lesson has been such a beautiful lesson in that I'll be able to really enjoy the process and rest in peace and have that sense of expectancy that's happy to be where I am today, but still expecting God to work tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. That's so good. Oh, I love it. That's really beautiful. And we all know how much, I mean, we've been trying to tell our friends again and again how much a book takes, you know, work-wise and people and all that time. And so it is really great. We really do need to be ready on so many levels and be in the right season, or at least, you know, at the very least have the right community around us that can help us carry out such a huge task.
Right. Because that is another thing about writing a book is, yes, it may come out of your computer, but any Christian book that hits the market today is a work of an entire community.
Yeah.
Or people who you've learned from, people you've walked alongside, people who are helping you in the process, cheerleaders, the people that have taught you, you know, it's just not something that we do by ourselves.
No, right. It's not an individual solo act. Just like, you know, the football team analogy, right? It's just not the quarterback, not just the kicker. It's everybody, all the players. That's right. Awesome. That's so great. Well, what were some of the things that you would speak on before this book? What were some of the topics that were burning in your heart or that probably still are that we probably have yet to see come to full fruition?
One of the things that is primary for me as a Christian content creator, whether it's speaking or writing, is to be able to connect God's word and with understanding and life application. Mm-hmm. So for years, my website was called Where the Spiritual Meets the Practical.
Yeah, oh, I like that.
Reflection of God's word in our daily life in a practical way has just been something that I'm very passionate about. Mm-hmm. So I love teaching God's word. I love equipping people with tools to understand God's word in a way that they personally connect with.
Yeah.
So, that application piece, you know, so what difference does it make? Mm-hmm. How do you be holy, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just that application piece is so important. And that's a place where a lot of times we get stuck. So that's one of the things that I'm very focused on. And the other area that is just a real area of passion for me is encouraging people who feel stuck in their faith walk. Maybe feel stuck struggling with anxiety or a difficult relationship or just feeling like they're not growing, that they don't have the passion for God that they had in the past. And that hands-on, boots on the ground kind of experience of how do you actually walk in the spirit? Mm-hmm. How do you actually move forward when you're struggling with anxiety? Things like that. So that's something that I'm very passionate about. And so all of my content will include those two concepts, practicality and really being able to get some, you know, understand things that will help you gain victory over your flesh. Because our flesh really does, it keeps us stuck in some crazy places sometimes.
Oh, yes. And we actually, we talk about being stuck a lot. So I'd like to go there a little bit, if we could. Ashley's rolling her eyes at me, because we're the ones who talk about being stuck.
Right.
Just give some, just give a little bit of highlights. I know that's not necessarily part of this book, though. I think holiness does have something to do with it. Give us some of the highlights of, you know, someone who's listening to this and they're like, yeah, I feel stuck right now. Mm-hmm. That's me.
Well, I think one of the things that I was very stuck in, and on one level I knew it, and the other level I didn't realize, like, maybe how deeply I was stuck. But I was really defining where I was spiritually and how I was doing spiritually and whether or not I was experiencing God's presence and things like that based on my emotions, whether or not I felt like God was close to me, whether or not I was able to feel not feel anxious when we were having a move or a significant life change. And, you know, when you struggle at times with a little depression or anxiety, or if you have an irritable nature, you know, or easily mm-hmm. frustrated. It's easy to feel stuck when you're trying to overcome those things and you're trying to depend on God, but you don't necessarily feel like you are making progress.
Yeah.
And that's easy to struggle with. And that's by design. God wants us to mm-hmm. experience some of those struggles as we seek to grow in Him, so that at some point in time, we really get to that place where we realize, oh, I'm still trying to do some of this in my own effort. Mm-hmm. And so every now and then, God allows us to get in this place where our strategies, you know, for being more patient or for being brave when we're struggling with anxiety, that are the strategies that we've developed that have worked some of the times, mm-hmm. bring us to a place where they don't work anymore. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes those are face plant moments, but
yeah.
None of us like to be in those moments, but
we do
they
not.
Have a really powerful purpose in that it helps us to get past our emotions and our stuck places and realize I do not have what it takes to overcome anxiety. I don't have what it takes to be patient mm-hmm. when my kids are screaming. And so oftentimes that's exactly what we need to understand to fully surrender to the Lord and say, I cannot do this in and of myself. I must rely on you. Would you express yourself in me as patience, or would you express yourself in me as faith right now? I don't feel strong. I don't feel calm, but I'm going to ask you to express yourself as faith in me. And that shift of perspective, that shift of source.
Yeah.
The difference. And I think in our Christian life, it's real easy to think of Christ as our resource. Mm-hmm. Where you go when you need the thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever your thing is, you know, whether or not you need generosity or graciousness mm-hmm. or wisdom, you know, whatever the thing is, we kind of think, oh, this is the thing. That's where I go to get that. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is the source.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when we begin to realize that I'm stuck and my best efforts aren't getting me unstuck and God's got a purpose in this, mm-hmm. Lord, I'm going to take my hands off the wheel here and I'm going to ask you to supply what I need, even if it is just the desire to get unstuck.
Yeah.
And that for me, that has just made a powerful, powerful difference. Cause I, like I said before, I was still in some ways defining my faith and where I was spiritually based on how I felt like I was doing, how I felt, whether or not God was pleased with me. And it's uncanny how you can know the truth and teach the truth, but still have to learn the truth through your own experience.
Yeah.
And that's part of every believer's path to maturity and healing and freedom are these places along the road where, you know, it just doesn't work. And the only recourse is to come to Christ as your source. And if he's not going to do it, it ain't going to get done.
Yeah, why he left us Holy Spirit to enable us to do these things, or to be in us and through us, instead of just like take and go, you know, run and go. It's running with, not just, yeah. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, and we need those reminders, because we can, there's a difference. There's the distance between our head and our heart mm-hmm. is sometimes some painful and difficult circumstances.
Yes, it is.
Head knowledge doesn't automatically become experiential knowledge and heart knowledge until the moments when God really puts you in a situation where he really wants for you to understand this next step, this next thing, or this place where you're struggling, or the reason why this is so hard.
Right.
Of why we struggle with the things that we struggle with. That's what he's after. So oftentimes we want relief and he wants that growth.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a frustrating place to be when you realize, and this is just me speaking personally, when I realize I have all this knowledge in my head, but it isn't working for me. It's so frustrating to think, but I know. I mean, I know all the things. So why isn't this working? And it's that. It's because it's another area of growth. It's another area that I need to understand who he is in me and through me and for me and all those things. And it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen. I mean, there's things we pick up by learning and, of course, you know, reading scripture and all that stuff. But then there's other things that come through very painful experiences. But then that's where it gets really rooted down deep. Yeah. If we walk through it the right way and we walk through it with him. But yeah, it's generally painful. So
I know you share a lot of personal stories and experiences and prayers in the book, Holy in the Moment. But what was one of the big ones, maybe even one of the ones that you're like, okay, this is where the Lord's taking me on this writing journey because of the story and what I learned from this experience?
Well, I think the story at the very beginning of the book tells about our move, in our military move in the year 2000 from North Carolina to California. And we had three small children. Just about a month before we left, I got diagnosed with Graves' disease, which is an autoimmune disease. And, you know, I just thought, now?
Right.
I don't have time to be sick. And so, you know, they gave me some medicine and we hit the road and just hoped it would be okay. And as we were coming into Monterey and getting settled in our house, my thyroid levels just went into hyper overdrive. And it was months before my hand stopped shaking. It was months and months before I slept more than an hour or two at night. It was big. And we were brand new, so continuity of care in the military environment when you transition is difficult.
Oh yeah.
You know, it was months before I got in with a specialist, and then they still have to, you know, figure out what's going on. And so from August to December, I was a wreck, and I didn't know if it would ever clear up. And so I would be awake at night, and anxiety would just be just huge. And I couldn't sleep. I couldn't rest. It was just nuts. And so really learning to just to like the only way to get through was to hang on in the moment. Just like, Lord, I can't feel you. I can't see what's going to happen next, but I trust you and I'm going to hang on to you. That's all I can do right now. And that was, you know, the beginning of the journey where God was teaching me that faith is not an emotion, that you believe because it's true, not because it feels true. And that was a powerful journey of just the importance of learning to hang on in the moment. And so that's the, you know, the chapter that kicks off the book on holiness. And so right, you know, a couple of paragraphs into the book, I say, that was the year I thought I was going crazy. And you don't expect to just dive straight into that kind of struggle when you pick up a book on holiness.
Right. But it's good. It's where we're all at.
Yes. But the truth is, holiness has everything to do with the things that we're struggling with, because part of being holy is being whole, healthy and whole and uninjured and everything working together, also being set apart for the purposes of God. And so the verse that the book really is based on talks about and God putting us together holy and whole and keeping us together, spirit, soul, and body. And coming to understand that that is the work that God is doing in our lives. And so oftentimes I had been trying to make myself holy and whole. And when you have experiences like that with debilitating anxiety or some, you know, some traumatic experience, you can't make yourself holy and whole. You can't. You come straight, you just slam into the door of what you cannot do for yourself. And that is heal yourself, make yourself holy and whole. And so those are the things that God can do, and learning to allow him to do those things and to trust him to do those things is the journey of a lifetime. And so that was the initial chapter of the book. And I can remember writing the back cover copy for Abingdon before I had written the rest of the book. And I did not realize at the time that God was going to thread the struggle with fear, the tension between holiness and faith, fear and faith throughout pretty much the entire book.
Wow.
I would have written the back cover differently if I had known that.
Isn't that funny how that works?
It is. But I really did not know that until I got to the parenting chapter. And the Lord was revealing how much of my parenting decisions had been rooted in fear. Fear of not being a good enough mom, fear of failing my kids, fear of disapproval, you know, just
all the things.
I worried about it. Yeah. And I thought, wow, this is a thread that has run through my entire life. And I hadn't realized it. And that's part of God making us holy and whole, is showing us the threads of those lifelong struggles that he really wants to heal, that he really wants to get our mind and our emotions and our motivations and our actions and our relationships and perspectives all coming together in the wholeness of faith that what God can do. And that's a very healing process. And now I have totally forgotten what question you asked me, but I hope.
Yeah, no, that's great. It was just kind of what was one of the bigger stories that prompted even you, you know, diving in to write a whole book about it? Because sometimes it's a blog post. It's, you know, it's a talk that you give to different groups. It's not always a book. And so, but it sounds like, as with all of these things, sometimes it was just about what the Lord wanted to do with you, and you just got to carry it that way and then share it.
I just wanted to say, I love how you're bringing in the concept of wholeness and with holiness, because it doesn't always, that's not what people think when they hear holy. They think perfect, like, which actually, it actually plays in, but not the way you're saying it. It's like, be perfect. Don't do that. It's all the don'ts. If you're holy, it's all the don'ts. You're don'ting all these things. And I think there's so much of what you're saying. And one of the things I've learned is just the importance of integrity. And what integrity is that you're integrated. It's all your bits and broken pieces are being reintegrated together so that you actually are, you have integrity because you're not broken. And so it's moving out of disintegration and into integration, and which is wholeness, and that is holy. And so I just want to point that out, the difference and the life-giving difference of being whole versus just being clean on the outside.
Yeah,
that's a big difference.
That is. I love it.
Yeah. And God is so faithful, because so oftentimes we feel like we need to help God do his work.
Here, Lord, I'll help you.
We don't have responsibility to make choices and to be obedient and things like that. But even in the work that God gives us to do and the responsibility that he gives us, he is so faithful and wants to be the source of the energy and the ability to do those things. But so oftentimes we get separated from that oneness with him, that abiding presence with him. And somehow we find ourselves working to try to, if I just work a little harder, then I can overcome this.
Yeah.
So, trusting God, but somehow we keep pulling it back over into our court and kind of beating ourselves up oftentimes that we're not doing enough.
Right.
And oftentimes the problem is not that we're not doing enough. The problem is that we're not trusting God to work through our doing enough.
Yeah,
I don't know if that makes sense.
Total sense. having experience trying to do it myself and fix myself, and I'm not doing enough. Yeah, it makes total sense.
That's good.
One of my favorite quotes from the book is that holiness is not a religious version of perfectionism,
which is what we think that.
Right.
That's the definition.
Yes.
And that's how we operate. In fact, I think when our culture hears the word holy, we cringe and we think of angry people with signs.
Right.
Instead of wholeness.
Right.
Yep.
That's good. Well, a couple of things before we get on to our VBS after party performance. Yes. And I know you remember those days. So I wanted to give just our friends an overview of the book, kind of how you've set up the book. The practicality part of it, pieces, but then also to give you a minute to talk about the military ministry that you're a part of, and I know that's a huge passion for you. So,
sure. Well, the book is in three parts, to go along with the verse that I was talking about, God putting us together, spirit, soul, and body. So that
we are all about that around here, as you know.
That first section is moments to love God. And it's about your relationship with God, learning to believe, learning to make holy choices, learning to surrender and to abide and to rest in faith, to allow God to do the work through you. And then as you do that, the second part of the book has to do with your soul. And that includes your mind and your emotions, how you interact with God through prayer and listening to God, and your obedience. Mm-hmm. And the last section of the book is enjoying your life, the life of Christ in you, and how that works outward to your attitudes, your friendships, your parenting, your relationships, and your work. And in each chapter, there are personal stories, like that one that I told you, this moving story that was the struggle of anxiety. There's all kinds of personal stories in there, very transparent, very authentic. And then there's also lots of reminders and practical ideas, things that are simple that you can put into practice to help you in your process. So I try to make book very, very practical.
Yeah, that's great. We are all about those things. I like practical. Spirit, mind, and body, practical. Give me tangible. you can't guarantee the outcome. You can't even but you can set up anticipation and, go like, this is biblical. This is what the Lord promises.
Position yourself for things.
Exactly. Exactly. I love it. Okay. And real quick, share about your ministry just with the military and all of that.
Sure. Well, I have the privilege to work with, we have a staff of 35 volunteers that work with Planting Roots, Strength to Thrive in Military Life. We're located at plantingroots.net online and Facebook, Instagram. And what we are a group of women in the military, both women who are prior active duty and those who are military spouses.
Okay.
Bringing faith and life into women who are in the military culture, whether they're spouses, daughters, active duty, moms, veterans, speaking life and faith from the perspective of the experiences that a military life has, challenges. So it's military women speaking into the life of military women. And it's a beautiful thing.
It's huge.
We do a couple of conferences a year.
Okay.
Two conferences in Germany this spring, and our next is in Washington, D.C., October 13th at McLean Church. Awesome. And there are one-day conferences that women in that region can attend and connect up with other military gals. They can receive great teaching and fellowship, and it's just a really great day. And so that's what Planting Roots is. We're just encouraging women to plant their roots in faith so that they can thrive and spread the gospel wherever God sends them. And military women are all over this globe.
Yes. Oh, that's powerful.
Yes, yes. And then my personal writing and ministry is through gingerharrington.com.
That's awesome. Well, I have many friends in the military all over the world, because I did live in Colorado Springs for 11 years. And as you know, that's the hub for all the branches, pretty much. And so, but anyway, I know firsthand through them of just what a struggle that is. And that concept of planting roots, it's so beautiful. You know, you can do that even if it's for the 2 years or, the short placements. But it can happen so much easier through the encouragement through ministries like yours. So that's awesome. And I can't wait to get Katie connected with you. I know that's going to be sweet for both of you. Yeah, that's going to be really rich. I love it. I love introducing my friends to other friends. And it's just so cool. I love it. And it's just, that's part of how God's family works. And that's the beauty of it. You get to see that unfold. That's what heaven's going to be like. Woohoo! Yeah. It's going to be so good. Ginger, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to seeing just your ongoing journey. I know that this is, it's not the beginning, because you've been working a long time towards this point. But I know even more is just going to unfold. So thank you for sharing and just your authenticity and your heart. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for having me join you guys today.
Yeah, this
has been
a blast. Absolutely. Well, we look forward to hearing more from you soon.
All right.
Okay.
Have a good day.
You too, Ginger.
Bye.
Bye.
Man, I really enjoyed this conversation with Ginger. What a beautiful word to call us and encourage us to holiness. Consider her invitation a reminder to refresh your faith. Remember, this is never about perfection. It's just about offering ourselves to Him. For more rich content from Ginger, be sure and follow her on Instagram and Facebook, after you purchase her book, of course. It's Holy in the Moment, and you can find it on Amazon or her website. And for those of you who are touched by military life in some way, which arguably is all of us, be sure and check out plantingroots.com. And I'm excited to see some of our Simply Wholehearted collective members possibly featured there in the near future. And for you mamas out there, we have so many ideas to create more meaningful moments with your kids. If you haven't already, grab our July calendar with 31 ideas to better connect with your kids this summer. We have a link so you can just print it from your phone. We'll also have one coming out right before the end of the month as August comes here, which means we're going to be finishing those slow days of summer and preparing for the new school year ahead. And friends, thanks so much for not keeping this podcast all to yourself. We really appreciate every rating, review, and share. They're truly important and valuable to us. Be sure to subscribe to the actual podcast show so that way you can get the newest episode the moment it releases. And your rating then counts and helps let iTunes know that we got a good thing going here. So until next week, we hope you'll be joining us as we discover more ways to live a simply wholehearted life, unplugged, purposeful, and intentional.